Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White.
I don't believe you.
What do you mean?
I don't believe you.
You don't believe I'm Hardy White?
No.
I don't know what to say.
Well, tell the truth.
I'm Hardy White. Join me now for a full hour.
Is it?
Yes, it is a full hour. Of just talking. All right, you don't object to that. And maybe just have some fun.
Subjective.
I know.
You're weird and strange.
Well, hello, friends. This is your old friend Hardy White. And I'm always here to take things off your heart. What do you mean by that? I think some things are weighing on us, on our hearts. You mean our literal hearts? Well, sometimes there is. There's fatty deposits that could be squishing it like a large jackbooted foot. And that happens to some people I know. Say, oh, Hardy, I think I'm having a coronary. You might be. But I'm really speaking metaphorically or analytically or something where you say, something similar to something else that is similar, but concretely, unlike I just did. Oh my goodness, that's why I use the human heart as a symbol for your, whatever, your feelings, let's say. Because there's nothing more sensitive than your heart. I don't know if you've ever had anybody manually squeeze it, or, but I imagine it's very tender. And so that's why we say I feel things in my heart, because sometimes you do. Like if you're very much in love, I feel it in my heart. What you feel is a panic attack, but it really starts to, you know, your chest feels real tight and all. That must be where it comes from. Just like when you start to think a lot, you get a headache. So my thinking must go on in my brain, but my feeling, it goes on in my heart and my colon, apparently. Because if I'm really feeling something deeply, I'll have diarrhea or just the cramps. And, both are no treat, but they're all part of being human. And if I can do something to stop up your runs like that, I will be a spiritual Imodium for you. And my gosh, we all need that sometimes. Sometimes we need spiritual Metamucil. Other times we say, oh, I need to eat a banana of artistic observation. And that's what I am. Bind, I'll bind you to me. It's a very religious sort of words there. Well, I would like to talk today about things that seem absurd, but it's just that we're not seeing everything. So it seems crazy to us. Let's say you enjoy the works of David Lynch. Now, a lot of times, let's specifically mention Twin Peaks, which, as you know, I wrote an alternative theme to Twin Peaks. I'm talking about Twin Peaks mystery. And a lot of you got that as a premium last year. I'm so happy about that. But people look at Twin Peaks and they'll say, I don't get it. It's nutty. Nutty, weird, strange. Or my grandmother's famous word, odd. He's an oddie, my grandmother would say. So people see and they see a lot of surreal imagery and they say, I don't understand what's going on. And if they went to parody it, they'd say, oh, look at me. I'm a horse standing in a room and now there's a monkey coming out of my ear and everything's backwards. And you maybe dismiss it as being sort of random and meaningless. But a lot of times in the absurd, there is hidden logic. What we don't see are the thought processes that led to these images. So many times artists are not doing things randomly. It's just that you're not in on the thinking necessarily. And I don't know what's going on under the surface. You don't. You just see the details of it. So I'm going to play a couple old classic Miracle Nutrition segments that I think... I don't like the word segment because the thing it evokes for me is pieces of worm or something. And I guess my art is like little pieces of chopped up worm. I don't know. What is that on the, that's the cat's tapeworm. I thought it was something else. No, isn't that awful? It's little segments of some sort of intestinal worm. That's me. Oh my goodness. I make no distinction between the mind and the body, you know? So, a lot of times people say, what's that odor? And I go, that's me thinking bad thoughts. And that's a good thing and a bad thing. But I'm going to explore this idea of sometimes what we think is absurd is just that we don't see the connections. I see it in public life, too. It'll be like somebody misspeaks. They really never give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, they always say, it's crazy. What are they talking about? But a lot of times you just don't follow their logic. And I say logic, but I don't mean strict logic. It's just one thing leads to another. And it could be illogical. Now, it's sort of the way I operate. Sometimes, like when I said segments. Now, that's like a word association thing. And you followed me there, right? But if I said a tree reminds me of dish soap, you wouldn't get, how'd you get there? Well, just because you don't know how I got there doesn't mean there's not a path. And so a lot of times it's enjoyable and understandable to let absurdity wash over you. And perhaps you will absorb the meaning, that the meaning is not something that you can understand, but only feel. And I think that's the way with music. If you were to say, I don't understand the logic of that music. What am I hearing? Well, just stop for a minute. Abstract artists like that too. What's that Rothko painting? What do you mean, what is it? What is that? I don't get it. Just experience it for a while. Just use your senses. You don't have to think everything. You don't have to articulate everything. Not everything has to be put into a statement. Artist, what if I have to write this up? Don't have to explain or put into words. What am I looking at? I always think that during movies. I've had friends like that. You're sitting, you're watching a movie, and you're like, what's going on? What's going on? Like, ask that at the end. Like, that's a, I'm not going to a fun house with you. So, what is this? What is that, a mirror? Just let it wash over you. You don't have to understand things all the time, you know? So when the actual surrealists were a lot of spoiled Europeans, when they were starting to explore these ideas, let's look at the weird and the disconcerting. You know, people are so uptight about things, but we can explore the world of dreams. We can make new connections. We can discover things and ideas and things about ourselves by veering off into this world of loose connections and illogical relationships. And so they did that. Now, one thing they did that was stupid and really did betray their lack of awareness was they looked to cultures that they didn't understand and took inspiration because they thought they were so pure and inspired. And so they would look to African cultures and they would say, look at that, and their dances and their arts are so free. And that's what we call exoticism. They looked at a culture they didn't understand. They imposed their own logic on it, and it came up absurd. And so they celebrate that so it doesn't seem condescending or bad. You know, look at this. We're going to be inspired by it. Look at me. Blah, 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 blah. I'm a foreign dancer. Well, when that happens, I mean, that's kind of good and bad in a way. It's lovely that they're inspired by the absurd, but it's somebody else's perfectly logical. We can actually generate our own wonderful, enlightening craziness. We can actually summon our own dreams. They're strange enough. We don't even have to look at other. Look at your wonderful exotic costume. It's just my work clothes. Oh! And I wonder that about somebody came here from another planet. So what is that you're wearing? It's a two-piece suit. I was going to say three-piece suit. That's crazy. So I'm going to just play for you something that happened to me and Butchie and Lou. Mainly it happened to me. And they instigated it. They made me feel like an outsider, because not understanding does that. You've never been in on something, and you feel like, oh, I'm on the outside. There was a great Mitchell and Webb skit. I don't know if you like them. I don't hold it against you if you don't. And it was called Number Wang, and it was supposed to be a game show. And you couldn't figure out what it was. They'd people say like random strings of numbers, and they'd either win or they wouldn't win. But the logic of it was elusive. And so it makes you feel alienated. And you think, I don't know what's going on. Am I stupid? And that's what we often feel when we encounter the absurd, as if we're being left out. But sometimes the only thing that we're lacking is a limber imagination. So let me now take you back a couple years ago. Tony Rancocas, Ricky Melba, Billy Diapers, Joey Sweats, Mickey Ricechecks, Maud Sticky, Leslie Hatsmells, Jim Product, Alana Mintz.
Do you mean Elena?
Whatever.
Timmy Maps.
Ann Canapes.
Mike Popup.
Tony Flatworm.
Grace Track.
Petey Pine Nut.
Jackie Clams.
Jerry Fitzmost.
Billy Slacks.
Ginny Foist.
Carl Wastes.
Ted Rebar.
Antoinette Peep.
Marty Letts.
Amita Alou.
Oh, Omar Potato.
Sally Cramps.
Davy Keeper.
Irv Tallytote.
Mary Shuffles.
Jack Pillow.
Johnny Oil.
Marita Shrimp.
Kate Rents.
Al Drinkbag.
Scott Krupp.
Jackson Mask.
Sammy Blanket.
Joanne Stonefruit.
Todd Plum.
Alice Grab.
Larry Pep. What are you guys doing?
Oh, we're playing a game we play.
What, will you make up funny names?
No!
So they're real names?
Ha! It's hard to explain.
Oh, come on.
Well, you gotta figure it out on your own.
Try me. Maybe I can figure it out.
All right.
So you go, and then I'll try.
Okay. Joey Seedling.
Mickey Plants.
Not even close.
What?
Yeah, that was... Look, next time we play, just listen really closely. You'll figure it out.
No, he won't.
Please, give me a hint.
I'll let you try again. How about that?
Okay.
Lenny Traffic.
Good one, Butch.
Diane Lint.
What?
I think you're just randomly saying things. Take your time and you'll see a pattern.
Oh, please let me try again.
Come on, this is a waste of time.
Why can't you just face that there might be some things you just don't get?
But, I mean, if you guys get it...
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Careful.
Because we're stupid? No, that's not what I meant. How could stupid guys get it when you can't?
I'm sure if you explain the rules to me, I'll understand how to play. It's just that it's hard to figure out just hearing the solutions without knowing the problem.
What if I told you there were no rules? That it was just a matter of us knowing if it feels right?
Or what if there are rules and they're so simple you'll feel like a fool if you ever figure them out?
Or so complicated you might never figure them out? Listen, just sleep on it. Maybe it'll come to you in a dream.
Man, it's driving me crazy trying to figure out what that name game of Lou and Butchie's is all about. It seems so random, but they're definitely thinking before naming a name. And did they make the names up, or are they real people? This is ridiculous. I better get some sleep. All right, light off. Sleep mask on. Adjust our pillow. Ah.
Tony Rancocas.
Ricky Melba.
Tony Rancocas. Ricky Melba. Billy Diapers. Joey Sweats. Mickey Ricechecks.
Tony Rancocas.
Leslie
Hatsmells.
Billy Diapers.
Joey Sweats. Mickey Ricechecks.
Alana Mintz.
Leslie Hatsmells. Jim Product.
Tony Rancocas.
Ricky Melba. Billy Diapers.
Joey
Sweats. Mickey Ricechecks.
Silence.
Oh, I'm sorry, Your Majesty. But I didn't say anything.
I know.
Oh, okay.
Do you have a question for me?
yes, I do.
Silence. Go on.
I didn't... Oh, okay.
My friends were playing some sort of word game in which they would name proper names and then respond with a name, and I can't figure out what the rules are so that I can play.
Silence.
Sorry.
Sorry for what?
I guess I keep speaking out of turn or something. You keep asking me to be quiet.
I am doing no such thing.
But why are you yelling silence?
I am simply pointing out moments of silence. Silence!
Oh, okay.
You see, you assumed it was about you, didn't you?
I did. I'm sorry, I just...
Be quiet! That time it was about you.
Okay.
What is it that you want to know?
I think I just asked what I want to know.
You did not. You made a statement about the actions of your friends and indicated that you were frustrated by your inability to understand their motives. That is not a question.
I see.
Silence.
Would it help if I asked a specific question?
Help whom?
Help you.
Me? I don't need help. You came to me.
Okay. What are the rules to my friend's name game?
How would I know? Describe the game.
Well, Butchie said, Tony Rankokas. Then Lou said, Ricky Melba.
Billy Diapers.
Yes. Yes, you know the game.
No, I just figured it out.
Please explain.
I heard the names you said and simply stated the next logical name in the series.
How did you know what that was?
It felt right.
So you guessed?
No.
I felt. Okay.
You see what you want to see, what you expect to see. Remember when you thought that leaf was a wounded mouse?
Yes, I felt foolish.
Because of your foolish behavior, probably. How many times have you seen a creature that needs help and thought it was a leaf?
I don't know.
Silence.
Oh, what if you were trying to solve your problems, but some of the solutions were completely hidden from you because your imagination is incapable of seeing them. And so you go your whole life and you have these things that could salve your soul or give you purpose or open your eyes, and yet, because you can't conceive them. Now, this probably didn't happen, they say. Have you heard the story where there's a primitive people or something, they live in isolation, and they see a ship on the horizon, and because they've never seen a ship, they can't literally see it because they have no context and everything? You ever heard that? Well, there's a little doubt to that now, because, you know, even if you don't know what something is, you go, well, that thing is, there's a thing there, and it's shaped like a big hand or something. So you'd figure something out a little bit. But that idea of not being able to see things because you don't have context is partially true. And you know it. Oh, my goodness, I'm a living example, I believe. Because I felt that way. Somebody said, they don't say it to me exactly. Probably because they're frightened. Because they're so strange. I'm not even going to tell them. But might say, I don't understand what you're saying, or it seems crazy, or a lot of times I'll say, it's a stream of consciousness. Well, all consciousness is a stream of thought. Consciousness, all thought, it operates like that, one thing to the other. I think when they say stream of consciousness, it's just you're making stops they didn't know were there. You're docking at ports that were not on the map. So he said, why are we stopping here? It's a perfectly legitimate harbor. It's just that you've never seen it.
Well, why?
I don't know. Maybe it's hidden with the overgrowth. But I know to pull my boat in. What kind of boat you have? I have a Bermuda Shuffle. I don't think that's a boat. I made it up. But it's a type. What kind of sails does it have? Anatitous ones and skeels. Well, maybe I've got the words wrong. But, I mean, it really is a boat. I'm just got different words for things maybe than you have. Has that ever happened to you? You say, well, you grow up maybe next to a kind of tree, and you say, well, we've been calling that monkey orange or something like that, monkey ball tree. And I say, that's an Osage orange. Well, I didn't know it's a monkey ball tree. And I've spoken of the monkey ball tree before. If you might have a different name for it. So we think maybe we're talking about different things. Hardy's talking about something different than I am. He lives in a different world. He has a different understanding, a different philosophy. Maybe not. Maybe I just call mine something different. So, oh, I go up to people and I say, peace be with you. I say, that's nice. I say, ship jive. So why do you say that? I'll tell you what, rather than try to explain it, why don't you come dwell among my people, my Dogarians, for a while? You live here and live in the big bathtub with me. And you can like Diogenes.
Really?
Yeah, why not? Why not? Oh, my goodness. Don't understand that crazy Diogenes got his own logic going on. Say, a bunch of phonies. If someone perceives that the culture they're in is just artificial and phony and limited, and that it's perpetuated by a sort of voluntary blindness that must close our eyes to things and wander in a mutual delusion, when we could be wandering in a compound delusion, an assemblage, a melange, a big stew pot of dreams where all our crazy projections and things that we conceive, we're all conceiving all the time, making little mind babies. Think of your thoughts like that. Think of them about being little king cake babies or something. So every time you have a thought, these lighted toy little plastic babies pop out of your ear and you keep them in a box. All these little toy babies. And when you want to experience that thought again, you grab one of the babies and shove it back in your ear because they're not real. And they're not going to. Hey, kids, don't put real toys in your ear or anything. I remember I was taking a class one time. It was an infant CPR class. And I was the only non-infant in it. But I was like, well, I got to. No, it was for doing on the even if I said CPR for infants, it still sounds like it was all of us infants doing it. How do I convey that it was adults that wanted to be able to clear the windpipes of babies? But that's what it was. So the instructor stood up a medical professional in front of everybody with a CPR baby. And I think it was blue or something. I don't know why. They made it a different color so we all wouldn't be terrified, but it might have been realistic, but in my mind it was like silver or something so that nobody would get too scared. You get traumatized and see somebody up there going, you know, baby, are you choking? Which is what she did. She said, baby, can you, I don't know what she said, but I remember she said that. And then she said, oh, there's a Barbie shoe in your throat, which is a possibility, right? The children can choke on the Barbie shoes or anything really. Those single-piece Legos, the one that's just snap onto one. I mean, the bigger ones, you can't get that. How are you going to get that down? I've tried to swallow one voluntarily. It's hard. So, but there's lots of little things in them, and they're called choking hazards. And they'll give you a little, say, oh, if you're going to have babies around, here's a little tube. Just if it can't fit through the tube, it's going to stick in the baby. So I'm gonna go all around the house trying to jam things down the baby throat tube. Not the real one, I mean the fake one, just to see, make sure. And, you know, so if a child is born with a silver spoon in its mouth, depending on the diameter, they're not going to choke on it. So that's fine, stuff like that. And in this baby choking class, I realized that it could be anything. I can't think specifically. I must keep my mind nimble. I can't expect things or I'll miss them. You know, if I have expectations, let's say I was listening to my own show for the first time and said, perhaps it is like one of these podcasts and it's an episodic
podcast about hope, something light, like a murder, or, you know, that kind of thing, or something historical about a huge battle or war, massacre. Oh, yeah, I love things like that. It's relaxing. But no, it's not that. That'd be great if it was. I wish I could do that sort of thing where they got the bed music and everything going like ding, 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 ding. So we called Tony. He didn't answer the first time. That kind of stuff, you know. But then he did pick up.
Hey, I got your message and I'm willing to talk.
No, oh, I wish I could do something like that. Bless everybody's heart. If I had a large attention span, I would be a force to be reckoned with. I can't imagine if I could pay attention to something for more than just a few seconds. But listen, I am working with what I was given. And let's say I was had a big field out there and I had to feed myself and others, and all I had to plow it with was one of those hand trowels, those little ones that the old people garden with, get down on their knees, I can't get back up. And they plant things, plant bulbs, or dig around the garden, or whatever, dig up part. Oh, no, it's where I buried the cat. I thought there was a bulb here for Narcissus, but it's my cat, Narcissus, who died. And I got another cat, Tulip, and a few others. Now, I'm running out. I can't remember a lot of bulb. Amaryllis. And if that's my only tool, then I'm going to plow my whole field with it. And yes, I'm going to have to get down on my knees and do it. And yes, I wish I had one of those big plows that was drawn by an oxen team. And by drawn, I don't mean like a drawing. I mean like drawn like they pull it. And I pull the plow through that field. And I can do it in half the time with half the effort, half my brain. Get half of everything. Drink half and half while I'm doing it. Glurg, 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 delicious. Don't you? I love drinking cream right out of the carton in the full sun. Do y'all do that? But then that's how I'd have to get my crops going, you know. And I can't wait. You see, I got to plow that field and I got to get it planted. And I got to reap those rewards before winter comes. And maybe I get my hay baled and everything like that. Well, what I'm really talking about is I got to live my life. I got to express myself. I got to meet my needs. And I have to do it with the tools that I have. And like our literal tools, most of them you just got for a Christmas present and you don't worry about until something needs to be done. I think of all the free tools I've gotten, mainly just one diameter of Allen wrench that they give you when you buy furniture. Here, this should do it. Actually, there's two different ones. And I've got many, many, many. I wish I could tell you the diameter in millimeters of them, but I can't. But they, oh my goodness, it's so, sometimes you get a free screwdriver when you get a furniture like that. And you go, I didn't pay hundreds of dollars for this chair for nothing. I got a free screwdriver. I wish they had also a little, you know, assistant would come out. So I'm going to help you put it together. I'm not going to stay with you. They just have them in the box. Maybe this could be done with a robot. So you get the furniture shows up. The little robot friend shows up.
I'll help you.
And the robot friend, you wouldn't have to make them huge. And the robot friend assembles it for you so you don't scrape your knuckles and stuff like that and get a bad relationship with the chair before you even sit in it. That happens with this furniture. Damn, I hate that bed. Can't even get in it. I just remember putting it together. People feel that with their children, too. You know, oh, remember when I made that? So I would love that if they came with something, put it together. Now, but that helps me by exploring that option. Now, many of you might not have thought of that. And I feel like sometimes I'm just a bad 70s comedian. Well, I bet you, what if there was a robot that helped you? But I use it as a thought experiment. I'm more like a bad scientist or a bad psychologist than a bad comedian. Why do I need the robot? What is it that bothers me? Do I really think that my experience there, if negative or challenging, is going to taint the whole thing? I don't know. So instead of just fixating on that robot, let me think why I needed the robot to begin with. And so when something is strange to me, or I think that's absurd, or I don't get that, whether it be another culture or a person whose behavior is inexplicable to me, rather than trying to assign some reason for it based on my own experience, I try to think about things beyond my experience. I use my dreams and my imagination. What might be going on? But all the time knowing that I may not know. But if I can keep all those options swimming in my head at the same time, there is a possibility that the right one will be in there. And that's the most important thing. That's better than settling on the wrong one. So when I begin to speak with you every week, and sometimes I have different things to say, a lot of times I have nothing to say because I think, oh my goodness. Do you ever go to a friend's house who's a hoarder and you think, you know, what do you buy somebody who has everything? And the answer is nothing. Don't buy them anything. They're done with things. There's, oh, so many more ways that you can give, perhaps by taking. And so sometimes when I greet you every week, I have a plan to take something from you, take some notion, maybe, and take it away, take it to my house. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. Regift it, I bet. And then I believe that you can operate without it. It opens up a space for all sorts of other things. You know, if you took that painting off your wall, those pictures off your wall that somebody gave you that you don't like or you inherited, then you have room on that wall to hang something wonderful. And you can keep the wall blank for a long time because just you say, I don't know, I'm not going to put anything there permanently. Or rotate it out like museums do and hang something different on your walls all the time. And I think sometimes we think people are flaky or weird or something when they do that, go through stages of their life. You go, what are you into now? But it's a beautiful thing, growing and exploring. I mean, we don't see other things. Where are you living now? Well, we moved from Florida. I'm living in Kentucky. Well, pick a state. You know, that kind of thing. Well, what are you eating now? Well, I just discovered food from Nepal because we got a new restaurant here. And turns out I like it. Why can't you just settle on a food? See, that's just a ridiculous way of thinking to me. We all change and grow. Now, grow doesn't mean it's going in some straight line towards perfection. You know that. Look at a tree. It's not, where's it going? Where's it growing to? Up? Out? This is growing. And it grows up and out because where else is it going to go? Down? It's growing down too. Growing always. That's the thing. And so when is it perfect? When's the tree done? When's it perfect? Only when it dies. It's not even perfect then. It's just done. And so, branch, spread out, grow, put your limbs out. Make them so that children will come play in them or a possum will come there, sit there and stare at people, make them feel disconcerted with its accusatory stare. Well, I just said, possums, boy, they have my number. I made eye contact with one that was in a tree. I had part of a tree removed because it was dead. The tree had kind of branched out, and right at the crux there, it started to rot. And one whole half of the tree, I mean, you know, very, very high, 40, 50 feet or something. Is that really? I don't know, 40 feet, let's say. Had to be removed. And that can't be right. But anyway, it was high. But then that night, this possum was sitting there on a branch of the part of the tree that remained, looking right at me. You know, like, why did you do that? And the reason why I told him was I didn't want the tree in a storm to fall on me or fall on the dogs or something. And he just stared, that accusing stare with their dark eyes and everything. And that tail, that uninviting looking, I like possums just fine. But, you know, I feel that way about older relatives. And they're saying, stop looking at me like that. I didn't know. Do we have room in the branches of our tree for that? What kind of tree are you? Are you like the Swiss Family Robinson tree at Disney World, all fake and stuff like that, with people walking up you and exploring there and then leaving again? I never saw it. That was one of my attractions that I think that would have been more fun if there's nobody else there. You know, there's some attractions at Disney that I would think you just got to be alone for them to be any good. You know, just doing it with a zillion people is not cutting it. I mean, yes, something might be an enjoyable experience, but not with tens of thousands, you know, like canoeing or something. It's like, oh, it's just beautiful out here with 100 people in my canoe and 100 other canoes. And no, sometimes you want to. Now, how are they going to make money at a theme park if they just let in one person at a time? Well, I've got news for you. It's going to blow your mind. I have the best news in the world.
Is it some religious slogan?
No, 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 no. Your brain is like that theme park. Oh, my goodness. You can't imagine the places that you can explore.
How do I do that?
Well, you can close your eyes, take a deep breath, then drugs, and then sit there and, well, you can skip the drugs part, actually. That they don't tell you that. Just by dreaming, daydreaming, do you ever take time to do that? Say, I'm going to go sit in a chair, and I'm going to go to another country in my head. No, nobody does that. Well, now, some people use external visual things to help them. That's what a lot of visual artists escape by drawing some place they want to be. Or if they're an abstract artist, expressing some feeling. But they don't just do it to communicate. They want to get that feeling when they see it. And a lot of the art we do is for ourselves because it's absolutely tailor-made. And you don't have to be good to impress yourself. Isn't that great? I mean, you do as you go along, you know, I guess. But that's the wonderful thing about being an amateur anything. Even be an amateur, even if you're a professional, because here's the difference. Here's etymology and entomology to me are the same thing. The study of bugs and words. I'll get to that in a minute. But an amateur means for the love of it. You do it because you love it. You're moved to do it. I like playing my guitar. I like you to play your guitar. Other people don't. So what? Doesn't matter, really. Now, there's a different thing called professional, and that means to profess. That means you go around calling yourself a thing. It becomes your identity. That's what a profession is, essentially, is a sort of identity that's all up there with your primary identity, which is me. So you go like, me, the lawyer, or me, the painter. Oh, that's a high bar, though. So if you say me, the painter, you better be pretty good. Now, I don't know that I can. I've never had a profession, really. I mean, I made money at some things, but nothing where I could say it was my identity. When they say occupation on a form, I just say self, and they think it means self-employed, but it really means that I'm occupied by being myself. As far as making money or earning a living and all that, oh my goodness, there's lots of ways to do that. And some of them I don't want to do because I need a degree of freedom or failure that would not be compatible with other people's goals. Nobody hires me to be self-expressive. Nobody's going to hire me to seek out higher truths. That's not what they want. If somebody's hiring me, it's because I somehow lay a golden egg that might be important to me or not important to me, but they want the egg. So that's the thing. I can't just be an ordinary goose. So I want to lay ordinary eggs sometimes because they have babies in them and the golden eggs don't. And so a lot of times the things we do for money are barren and effete. They are not
creative in a true sense. I'm not making anything, really. And that's there's nothing wrong with that. Labor's fine. And labor for somebody else's ill-conceived undertakings is also fine. You know, you got to do what you got to do. But my goodness, allow yourself to love something imperfect. And what's more imperfect than you. Well, you know, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Oh, maybe I'm perfect. Maybe you are. You're just fine the way you are. And also you're not. I don't know. It's up to you. My goodness. I'm not here to tell you, to explain. I'm here to give you options. I'm here to tell you that some things are paths or doors that don't look like it. A window can be a door. If you can get through it, if it fits, it sits, right? So there's all sorts of paths. They don't have to be inviting or wide. And I know a lot of people have taken off on their life journeys, and they are on what I call the light green blaze. What does that mean? So sometimes you do trails in the woods, they're blazed, and that means so you don't get lost, they'll paint different colors on trees or markers occasionally. So you stick to the red blaze. That means you make sure you always see those red markers and you go around. Sometimes they'll do it right on trees. Sometimes if it's in a state park or something, it'll be a little that kind of thing. Well, I was walking in the woods with a friend, and we thought we were following the light green turquoise blaze trail. And what it was, we realized, was just really bright lichen or something that was growing on these trees. It looked exactly like light green, light blue paint. It was all the same color, and it wasn't, you know, and we finally figured this out, that we were following no trail at all. We were just going randomly from one, moss-covered tree to the other. And we got lost. And it was scary for about 2 seconds until we realized we weren't really lost at all. It kind of come full circle, and we were just standing in somebody's property next to their apiary. And we laughed, and then we ran because we were being shot at. No, that part didn't happen, and I shouldn't even told you it didn't happen, because who cares? Have you ever been shot at? Not shot at. Shot by. I will say this now. Do you ever seen that little TV thing that people, if anybody's listening to, worked on it? That's I love it. Everybody was so cool. But I did these interstitials for and we were out shooting them at a farm, a horse farm. And the next door neighbor of the person who had the horse farm was a lunatic and would fire off their semi-automatic rifle to be intimidating. And they would do that right on the property line. So we were shooting this thing right on the property line. We're going, what do you do with your old stuff? And as we were doing it, this guy squeezed off a bunch of rounds right now. I mean, probably was shooting at something that was, you know, just a few yards from me. And because I am surrounded by interesting characters like that, who love to shoot in your direction shamelessly. I didn't think anything of it, but the folks I was with were a little frightened. And so we had to move. But I don't know if they were frightened or those, you know, I don't know if you've ever shot anything professionally, but it's just the insurance cloud of liability is this heavy, heavy thing that hangs over everybody. And there's this like a nervousness. So, yeah, that's why you can't shoot on. There's so much great stuff you could do on train tracks, but not anymore. You know, we were going to have a helicopter come down and kind of pretend to crash on me, but say, no, no. But I understand that. So what is this? Shots fired. Are you firing a shot at me to wake me up, Hardy? Yeah, maybe so, but I got blanks. It's just the noise. To rouse you out of your sleep. To wake up. To say there's other people whose motivations are different than
the ones I have, I knew that this fella, although he wanted me and others to die, he didn't want to do it. How do you know that? Because his aim wasn't that. He could have just shot and killed us. That's not what's going on. And I was like, oh, I mean, it's no fun, right? But I think I might have been the only one who sort of was thinking that broadly. Because otherwise, if you just said that, you know, it would seem terrifying. But you have to take into account, you know, what's going to have to see through the bushes. I use my imagination to see the larger picture. And the larger picture to me is always absurd. There's no, you're not going to see. You'll see patterns, but I don't believe that the answer is anything beyond looking. If it were, I don't know that we'd be living in a universe that had time. This relentless now, these moments that command 100% of our attention, and the rest are relegated to dreams and memories, and all we have is this uncorrallable instant of life, of awareness, of consciousness. Here we are, right now. Now. Now it's gone. Now. Now it's gone. Now. And the rest are memories, and we're floating in this great soup of dreams. Ah, don't be afraid. Take my hand. Float with me through this magical, strange landscape. I make no distinction between dreams and nightmares. It's all just weird, wonderful things happen. No putting it together. Oh, wander with me in this strange place. Do you like it? Let me tell you a little story about something that may or may not have happened to me. And it does involve a tree. I went to bed one night, and I looked out of my window before I went to sleep, and everything was just as it normally was. But then, when I woke up, there was a tree in the middle of the yard, a full-grown one, where there hadn't been one. And I thought, well, this is strange. Maybe somebody came in the middle of the night and put a very large tree right there. Or what's more possible is that I just never noticed it and I have lost my mind. Because it's not possible for a tree to just materialize like that. So it must be me. Now, it's hard to admit that maybe you've lost your mind or you didn't notice something. Say, well, that doesn't seem right. Who am I going to trust, my own eyes or my own eyes? So that's why I see it. I am really trusting myself when I distrust myself. I know that things change and I'm going to have to adjust my sense of reality sometimes. I do as I get older. Say, you think more about like not getting perfect, like health-wise. You say, how can I get to a point where I can make it to the end without too much trouble? And you adjust. And that happens all the time for things. You have to. Let's say you lose a leg, God forbid, or something, right? And then you have a lot of right shoes that you're not using because you lost your right leg. So it's just left shoes from now on. What are you talking about? Well, that's not right, because you might get a prosthetic leg. Yeah, man. So there's no, so the shoes wouldn't be a, the shoes aren't going to, right. All right, let me think for a minute then. Well, what kind of prosthetic leg are you getting? Because I could see getting the foot on it, but maybe you won't need socks. Maybe that part of the foot will be something that a sock couldn't go over. All right. Do you follow me? Yeah. Or you could get one of those running blades, like, you know. I don't know. I'm just trying to be helpful. But I guess what I'm saying is one situation changes, you know. And we wake up a different person a lot of times. Literally, figuratively, also literally. Almost entirely literally, we wake up a different person because we are older. We have different memories than we had the day before. Oh, yes. And we have different speculations, different dreams, different things that we think are going to happen based on new stuff. Oh, what do you think's going to happen now? You think I'm going to play another? I wish I had more examples of when I felt left out when Butchie and Lou were doing. Did you forget Lou's name? No. I was actually thinking about. So there were family that had this game, and I was trying to simultaneously remember what it was. But it was a word game. I think it's called Saskatchewan, and I'll try to remember the rules and bring it to you next week. But what it is, it's a guessing game, but what you do is you give verbal clues to your partner, but other people don't know you're giving clues. So, you start to describe a trip, and you say, like, I spent 2 days in Denmark, 3 days in Saskatchewan, and they'll go, Obama, like that, because you're giving word clues. I don't know what you're talking about. You will next week. It'll all be clear. Everything is going to be clear, I think, especially when it'll be very clear when they round me up and they take me to a hospital for people who think differently. And I wouldn't be that. It would depend on what it was. I think that's what WFMU is, in a way, is a hospital for people who think differently. And we're all inmates or patients or whatever you want to call us, clients. And it's wonderful. I love it. And the thing is about the people that think differently at FMU. Let's say you listen to Bryce's show. May not be on the air right now, but legendary, wonderful person, wonderful show is my estimation. And one that is sometimes challenging, right? He would play weird, challenging things. And there's just nothing strange or bizarre about him, anybody really, because once you factor it in, it all makes sense. And the things we listen to, most everything we hear is really out of context, and have it wash over us with a lot of its meaninglessness intact is a gift. And then once you figure things out, maybe they're not as enjoyable or interesting, and this happens with music and art and things all the time, but oh, that initial feeling of being confused and excited, just like a fun house, That's why people say, oh, I loved the fun house when I was a kid. It doesn't hit the same, so that's why I take all these confusing, debilitating drugs. And then I go in there, and I'm disoriented. I'm barely aware because I'm tripping. And then it's challenging again. And then I'm like, to have that fun, disoriented feeling about being young, when you just first got to this world. Do you remember that?
Yes, Artie, I remember being in the womb.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
What was it like?
It was like the sensory deprivation tank in Altered States.
It was?
Yes. And there was a red glowing light.
Yeah, I could see that. If any light got in, it would go through blood and everything.
Yes. And I was floating. I remember distinctly they called it amniotic fluid.
Yes. And you were floating in it.
Yes. And I had visions.
What did you have visions of?
I had visions of other strange movies like that I remember seeing in the future, because my future extends into the...
No, I don't know if that's true. Can babies remember being born before they're born?
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I don't know a lot about biology, or certainly I know even less about obstetrics, and that's what that comes under. I could never, can you imagine that, birthing a baby or something? I say, wait, there's a baby going to be born and everything. I'm fine. Once it's alive and choking, I'm good, but I don't think I can, I didn't take that lesson. I didn't think it was going to come up. And I know, like from Andy Griffith's show and something, sometimes it happens and you got to, say, go boil some water. And I go, why? It's not a lobster. We were not going to eat it. Get something else, like something, a lot of wipes or something, because things going to be messy. So what do we need more? I'd get, what you get? A doctor. That'd be great. Get a doctor. And I guess you can, thinking about it, why don't you boil some water? Because then if somebody does want to have instant coffee, tea, or what have you, it's going to be ready. I don't even know what it's for. But then, oh my goodness. We birth things all the time, don't we? Ourselves, maybe. We go out in the world. It's just like being born. You should wake up every morning and wipe the fluid off yourself like Neo in the Matrix, or like amniotic fluid, or like sometimes just like, what is all this on me? Then you see the ceiling's leaking. And why is the ceiling leaking? Something viscous? Turns out somebody's opened a pudding factory upstairs, something they are not allowed to do. There was somebody up there before making junket, which is a rennet dessert, and all sorts of other things like that that congeal. And they could drip on a sleeper beneath it. You are the sleeper beneath the dripping pudding. And it's true. And it's wonderful. And you can reach out, and if it's tasty, have it drip onto your tongue like that. Say, I don't mind some ceiling pudding. It's all, if I know what it is, you know, it's the, when I get scared, that's when things go wrong. Say, what is this stuff? Is it going to hurt me? No. It's just some kind of congealed dessert. It's not going to hurt you. Oh my goodness. I hope I don't hurt you. I hope I do more good than bad. I hope that this is like closer to one of those good dreams where you win an award and not the bad ones where you know, you something bad happens to you. What if you win an award but you forgot your pants? That'd still be good. I'd be like, if people were cheering. Oh, I don't have my pants on. But they're cheering. That's great. Now I know what this award is for. That's the kind of dreams you want to have. Oh, my goodness. Don't deprive yourself of it. I'm here, your friend Hardy. I'll give you that love you need. You know I'm going to jumpstart your love. Like, that's what you say. Oh, my battery's low. And, you know, I don't need your battery, Hardy. I just need to jumpstart mine. So I'll hook it up and I'll say, love, 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 love. Love, 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 self, love, love, self, love, love, self, love, love, self, love, self, love, self, love, self, love, self, love. Then you got it running again. We're good. You could have popped the clutch in second. You wouldn't even need me. I'll teach you how to do that. But listen, I want you to be to feel not scared. Oh my goodness, going forward in the world, find joy when you can. I hope I'm a source of it. And that you've going to embrace some absurdity this week. I did. I went out, Hardy, and I looked for just the weirdest stuff I could find. Yeah? Stuff I didn't understand. Like weird art and music. Yeah? And I just let it, just experienced it and thought about it. Because, you know, when stuff is, when we feel like we don't know what's going on, we get defensive, we get scared, we feel like maybe we're stupid. And we push back against it. So this is making me feel stupid. And I've had that feeling with some knowledge. You could have with knowledge, you know, if you don't understand science or math or something, then you can discount it out of hand because it makes you feel inferior. But don't. I'm telling you, as a world, being curious is the best thing in the world. You don't have to be an expert or professor about anything. You can just say, I'm unafraid of all these things I do not know. I'm unafraid of the confusing. Just because I can't grasp it doesn't mean it's going to go away, and I'm certainly not going to hate it because it's beyond my ken. Ken, I didn't mean, I'm shout out to Ken, even though he was using it with a small K. Oh my goodness, there's nothing beyond our ken. Let me just say that. I am so blessed to be with you on this radio. Every week, mostly. No, every week. And my goodness, our time together is so precious to me. I hope that I waste it in a wonderful way. I don't want it to be precious. Got to be able to don't grasp onto it. I love people who used to like me. That's fine too. You do get things when you want. You know, if you sell Zweibach, don't be mad that people stop eating it once they turn two. Just be happy you got little baby customers. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope 91.9 in New York City and Rockland County, New York, and online worldwide, WFMU.org. Freeform radio, the freest of the form of radio. And I love you, and I'll see you next week.
Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. 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 Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany.
Good one.